to Timeout for Sports with Joe Smith.
A weekly wrap of local, state, and national sports happenings all summer long.
On News Talk 96.1
and AM 1370 WGCL.
Now, here's your host, Indiana Sportscasters Hall of Famer, Joe Smith.
And good evening, everyone. High atop One City Center in downtown B-Town, along with our sponsors and our producer, Jim Ritter, Reds Baseball. Late night, if you can't sleep, just stay up and listen to the radio. The way the Reds have played, they could put you to sleep, and you won't have to take any medication. I'm just kidding, but they do and are on the left coast all of this week as they play San Diego tonight. Pre-game with Marty Brenneman and Brian Price at 10 o'clock tonight. So, and then they move into Los Angeles. We'll have more on that. But we go behind the scenes with Vice President Director of Athletics, Fred Glass. The last time we talked to Fred, he was on a well-deserved vacation. And, Fred, welcome high atop One City Center here on a beautiful Tuesday. Tick, tick, tick. The clock works toward football and everything. Boy, we had two more teams report today. Todd brought his soccer guys in, Amanda Chaney and her field hockey crew. It's, the student athletes are coming back, so great time of year. Welcome back up top here.
Thanks, Joe. I appreciate it. It is great to see the kids back around. I saw a whole passel or pride or herd of field hockey players working hard down in the weight room today, and they looked ready to go. And it's just fun seeing all the student athletes around.
Hey, while you were gone, one of the enhancements we made, you know, they took the detour signs off of the bypass there on 17th Street. Boy, is that nice, that new little paved walkway. That's going to be super to come off there, and did a great job with all of the markings and what have you there.
Yeah, Mayor Cruzan's doing a great job as he runs through the tape, as it were, with his term, and has done a lot of neat things, and we've appreciated the opportunity to partner with him. I know he's doing a lot of things in cooperation with the university all around the university campus, and it's going to be an enhancement for everybody in Bloomington.
Hey, you know, while we're talking about some of the new amenities associated with game day Saturdays, talk a little about, since we're in that location there on 17th Street, about the, you know, I'm seeing all the light poles in that grass field across from St. Paul's. So that's going to be obviously well lit, or is that there because of the IM fields?
That's going to be part of the intramural fields. Okay. Yeah. And unfortunately,
that thought just occurred to me.
Yeah, well, we'll lose a little parking maybe. But on the other hand, it's going to be a great amenity for our students overall. It's a great, great project, but probably not anything that's going to enhance the parking opportunities for athletics.
So, that will still be a parking area for people. Don't they park there during a game?
Yeah, no, absolutely, yeah. They will. Okay. But the fields where we, for a while there, we've been parking on Sunbauer, and we won't be doing that because that would be nice field turf for the students.
Talk a little about that. I mean, you know, we have talked about it. You have talked about it after Bart Kaufman was built, that it was still a very viable facility to use. And with Woodlawn going a different direction, which was the old IM fields, you rolled a 10-strike there.
Yeah, I think that's going to really be a win-win, because it was nice to bring baseball and softball onto the athletics campus. Obviously, those fields we had for a long time let Rec Sports use, but then we just kind of flipped over, and they're using the old Sunbauer field and the old softball fields. And I think it's just going to be a fabulous amenity for the students, and connected to the residence halls and on that side of campus, as well as some of the fraternities and sororities up there. I think it'll be a real nice piece.
Well, it all starts September 5th. Southern Illinois will kick things off for the Hoosiers of Kevin Wilson. You know, we talked on the phone while you were vacationing, Fred. You mentioned the brand new website. We had you on today with part of that conversation on our reports, and it only continues to get better and better. A lot on there, including information to get tickets for the 7-game home package. I'm getting excited. I mean, we're sitting here not the middle of the month yet, but it's just right around the block.
It is, and I'm really pleased with the response of our fans. Our ticket sales are really strong, and we're pleased about that, but always room for more in the Memorial Stadium, and hope your listeners, if they haven't considered getting a home package. They do at iuhoosiers.com. It's very reasonably priced, and certainly for a family, it's the best deal in the Big Ten. I mean, you can bring your family, buy a couple of kid tickets for $5 a piece, and sit pretty much anywhere that you'd like. We've got a great slate, 7 home games, and I think this is going to be a really, really fun team to watch.
That's a neat weekend, too, because it is, in essence, Labor Day weekend, a Monday, so everybody will be off. And, boy, there's some big events coming up prior to kickoff on Saturday, starting actually on Friday.
Yeah, the night before, we're going to have our countdown to kickoff event, and that's going to be basically our Bloomington tailgate tour piece that evening.
Okay.
We're going to have a hot air balloon fest, which is going to be cool. The skies of Bloomington will be filled with those beautiful, colorful hot air balloons. We're going to do a glow run for students, which I think will be a new – it is going to be a new tradition.
What's that, a glow stick?
Yeah,
they're
all going to be wearing glow sticks and crazy stuff.
All right.
I know, Joe, you had suggested that we do the nearly naked glow stick run, but we thought, you know, the Alumni Association or somebody already does the nearly naked runs. We pass on that. But we've got the glow run. That's going to be fun. And we're bringing the Salukis into town. And I think actually the later kick hopefully will be something. It won't be perfect for all, but on a Labor Day weekend, you know, you can do your early stuff on Saturday. If I'm not mistaken, I think it's a 4 o'clock kick. On Saturday, so people can get some things out of the way and still come out and tailgate and enjoy us opening up against the Salukis. We're going to make it a kind of a kickoff event. We're going to have branding tied to the kickoff. I already mentioned the kickoff event the night before and try to do some special things around opening up the season.
And you mentioned the ticket sales going. Any idea on maybe perhaps the student amount this year, what are at least what we're shooting for in that regard with student season tickets?
Yeah, I'd really hope that we'd be up over 10,000, and we're going to be.
That's modest.
Yeah. No, that'll work. And the overall ticket numbers are holding up well. And my hope is that people decide to turn out. And as we hopefully go through a fairly strong non-conference season, we'll build up and get that thing up to 52,929. Wouldn't it be exciting if when the Ohio State Buckeyes, defending national champions, come into town, we're facing each other as undefeated teams fighting for the lead in the Eastern Division.
Well, and, you know, I tell you, being out of practice, I tell you, we had our media day, as you well know, and I hardly recognized T.J. Simmons. Why? Well, he had his dreadlocks cut.
Right.
And then Alex Rodriguez, who was an outstanding running back at Lawrence Central, turned barber the other day and got into Mr. Redding's locks after he was tackled by Marcus Oliver. And I always wondered about that, how easy it would be. You know, they call that high tackle shoulder from behind. They'll call that and give you a 15-yard penalty. But I asked one of the coaches, I said, well, what if someone pulls his hair? You know, and those locks were getting pretty long. They're gone.
Right.
So
right.
Some new additions.
Yeah, a couple of those guys I hardly even recognize.
Oh, I didn't know, TJ.
Two or three of them have shaved it off, and my understanding is it's fair game to grab that hair. That's not a penalty.
Dylan McCullough said, hey, you know what, I just kind of got tired of it and didn't know Alex did such a fine job. And even, Mr. Devine gave him kudos for a job well done there, Devine Redding, so to speak.
Right.
We'll get it. That
well, he's divine.
He is divine,
he is.
And I hope he runs well. I tell you, his time has come now with Tevin gone. But you know, I kind of like the and Kevin has talked about this, and we have talked about it on previous shows, Fred. It's the consistency factor. Mm-hmm. It's not putting is Kevin Wilson's job in jeopardy if we don't go to a bowl game, stuff like that always pops up. It's the proverbial plan one at a time, but thing that I like that I've seen as a carryover from spring is the consistency with regards to attitude here in the early going of fall camp. And that's an intangible that you can't measure.
Right. And you're exactly right. There's a really good feel around this team. I spoke to the team and just so impressed on that attitude, on their attention, on their confidence. I've never felt it as positive as I felt it this summer, fall, if you will. And I'm optimistic about A, the consistency of attitude, but then the consistency of performance. And part of that comes from just getting deeper. You know, I mean, a lot of times we could match up with our first run guys, but as we went deeper into the progression to what wasn't so good, well, geez, in a lot of those positions, we're getting deep now, Joe, and where it really counts up front, both offensive line and defensive line. So, you know, this doesn't happen overnight.
No.
Kevin's building it. He's put one good recruiting class after another, and we're starting to reap the benefits of that.
Well, one of the points of emphasis has been to play physical. As a matter of fact, the Hoosiers are practicing right now as we speak with Fred Glass, and they'll be having a day off a little bit later in the week, then go two-a-days. They're, in essence, in full pads now, and two-a-days started yesterday, as a matter of fact, on the football calendar as they continue to get ready for the opener against Southern Illinois. We'll talk more football. We're just getting started with Vice President, Director of Athletics, Fred Glass, right now about 18. Past the hour of 6 o'clock, going behind the scenes with Fred Glass on Time Out for Sports. You're listening to News Talk 96.1 and AM 1370 WGCL. Welcome back, everyone, along with Vice President, Director of Athletics at Indiana U, Fred Glass, going behind the scenes. Our producer tonight, Jim Ritter, Reds baseball in San Diego at Petco Park, coming up with a pregame show at 10 o'clock. One of our sponsors, of course, is Royal South Toyota, and they're located right there on the South Walnut Street. They want to keep your business local, so come south and leave happy at Royal South Toyota on South Walnut, or shop them on the web at royalsouth.com. Tomorrow, of course, Glass is back off of vacation, and he joins up with Dave Novak in the zone. And your calls, that's tomorrow night at 6 o'clock. Reds pitcher, by the way, is Michael Lorenzen tonight. You know, Fred, we had talked, and you had had a chance. Obviously, you were at the Big Ten kickoff festivities up in Chicago, and we had an opportunity, you did, and all of us associated with this young man we talked about, Nate Sudfeld, to address all of the Big Ten athletes, student athletes, and it was something that I just, the more I'm around him, the more you know, what a great young man
he is. That and it's a really, really big deal, because he's there to represent all of his fellow players, and then speak to a crowd of probably 1,200-1,300 people gathered for that event. And, of course, athletic leaders from around the conference, and he just killed it. You know, he was really, really strong. And, in fact, right when it ended, I turned to Kitty Delaney, who was sitting nearby, and she had tears rolling out of her eyes. So it's pretty emotional. He did a really, really nice job. And, of course, that's just the tip of the iceberg, because he's just such a great leader, great kid, great teammate. We're, you know, really, really proud of him. First IU guy to speak at that luncheon in about 20 years.
And that being said, time now, a couple of weeks after the fact, that when he addressed the student athletes and all of the Big Ten Conference, Nate had a time to reflect, as he was telling us just the other day.
Yeah, that was a big honor. I was thrilled to be given the opportunity, and a little bit surprised to be given the opportunity. But so I felt responsible to put all I had into the speech and prepare as well as I could. So I didn't take the opportunity lightly. I definitely spent a lot of time on it, working on it, writing it, rewriting it, editing it, all things like that. But I mean, the feedback I got was, I was very, very humbled and proud of and happy about what people were saying. Just shaking hands afterwards, people really from other teams and other coaches and other you know, fans or alumni or whatever were very generous with their time and shaking my hand. So that meant a lot. But the kind of the core things I wanted to get across were, first of all, that I said the word stand on the shoulders of people who've come before us. And talking to our team the other day, they watched it in the team meeting, and a little embarrassing, but kind of recapping after that, just telling the O-line, like, I'm really thinking of them when I say I'm standing on their shoulders, because they're not guys who get a lot of credit. You know, when a touchdown happens, they, you know, give the credit to the quarterback or the running back or the receivers. But, you know, those are the kind of guys who don't get recognized as much. But I understand that I would not be up here right now or be up giving that speech without those guys. And so really thinking of those guys, And then also kind of the perspective I've gained through the experiences I've had, as well as understanding or appreciating those experiences and appreciating the opportunities I have, and very much feeling the responsibility to make the most of what I've been given.
Well, you get an idea, Nate Sudfeld, the voice, of who will be leading us his senior year at quarterback. And I think, you know, all people have to do listening, driving out this evening, Fred, is that's the kind of quality that we have in the huddle and on campus in the classroom, Nate Sudfeld.
Yeah, and I can tell you that Kevin told me that his teammates were blown away when he showed that video of the speech. And you know, Nate says I was kind of embarrassed or whatever, but the guys loved it. In fact, the first day they had meetings all day, and a variety of people addressed the team. But Kevin told me the most powerful pieces were watching Nate's speech, and then George Taliaferro came and addressed the team. And I've heard a number of the young men talk about how impactful and meaningful that was for George to give his perspectives. And of course, he's a local and IU treasure, and appreciate him giving his time to connect with the young men.
No question about it. And again, IUHoosiers.com, our brand new look website, and just chock full of a lot of things. One of the lead stories, basketball related, we're playing Duke down at Cameron in the Big Ten ACC Challenge, and I see that one will be on, obviously, national TV, a late nighter, I think 9:15. Hey, let's go on, hop on your honor roll and our department in the spotlight for August, along with our employee in the spotlight, Fred.
Yeah, there's probably nobody more behind the scenes than the information technology folks. You know, their support staff. And they're behind all these devices. And just think about it. I mean, not that long ago, you know, you might have hardly anything. And now there's computers and iPads and iPhones and all kinds of stuff. And these folks, we're not adding tons of staff there. So they work harder and harder and harder to take care of more and more devices. We did finally give them a new space that they needed, so they've got a little more elbow room and a place to put all their bells and whistles and so forth. But they're a great group. Help us with a variety of matters, not only personal communication and information retrieval, computing, etc., but also all the broadcast demands from being active on the Big Ten network and all that stuff. So they just do a great job. Don't get enough attention, and so I'm really glad to make them my department in the spotlight. Dan Fitzsimmons is the head honcho. Cindy Grubb, Brian Hulley, Matthew Colbert, Mickey Leibacher, who you know, Joe, and Kareem Batu do a great job. I'm going to make Dan my employee in the spotlight, not because he necessarily works harder than anybody else, but his leadership has really been extraordinary. He does a great job. They all work hard. But I'm going to give the nod to Dan because he's really done a great job leading that department.
It seems, too, that he never runs out of creative things to think about and then to throw them into the mix, so to speak. Great enthusiasm to his job. And, again, this is a staff. I mean, they have well over 200. I mean, you listed the top people, the six. That are the support technicians and administrators, and of course Dan and Cindy Grubb. But wow, they you know, technology and networks, you need folk.
Yeah, and those six take care of 240 staff members in the department. So they're really leveraging their ability to service, you know, a lot of people in the department.
Hey, we got some other things going on. We alluded to, obviously, the intramural fields at the old Sembauer complex, and it changes daily and will be well lighted here in time. Chuck Crabb will be in with class. Our Big Show Friday picks up for the first time after the summertime break. But can you talk to me a little about the facility upgrades we have coming? And my gosh, not only the weight room, but three different sports, huh?
Yeah, we've got tons going on. Obviously, Assembly Hall is the big one. That's sure. On time and on budget. Those folks are doing a fabulous job. We are building a new rowing house, row house, boat house for our rowing team. That's almost done down on Lake Lemon. That was much needed for those young women. That's exciting. A new golf teaching facility is the grounds being staked on that. We've added a special team room and locker rooms for men's and women's tennis. We added new turf in our weight room to hopefully relieve some of the pressure on Mellencamp so we can do more than one sport when they need to be indoors. So lots of good stuff going on all over the place, and we'll keep trying to put together the kind of facilities that our young people need to compete.
You know, we had talked about, we had Amy on, it's been a month ago. She's in fall camp now. Their first game is coming up on a Friday night against Virginia Tech out at the Armstrong Stadium. But I'm still will be interested to see the impact of the young ladies in the middle schools and high schools that had a chance to watch the World Cup and what it meant to the sport to win the World Cup back earlier in the summer, and to see how that will really enhance the women's game. It's been enhanced enough, but now we're very lucky you hired her to bring Amy in starting her third year.
Yeah, I think we'll see how that plays itself out over time, but I do think that's going to be a real shot in the arm to the women's soccer movement generally, and Amy's really poised to help take advantage of that. She's dynamic, young, up-and-coming coach, and has already had a lot of great results with our women's soccer team. The young women love her, and we're looking for good things with that program.
Yeah, we get an early peek at the Soccer Hoosiers of Todd Yeagley, because they're going to play an exhibition next Monday night against Valpo, so put that on your calendar. Here they are, preseason ranked 14, and they have some up-and-coming guys, much like our football team, you know, guys that have bided their time. They're no longer redshirt, youngins. They're redshirt seniors and redshirt juniors, and some quality guys looking for a big soccer season.
They are, and there is something special to that team. You know, ever since the Godfather, Todd's dad was running that team, those guys really feel something special about having Indiana across their chest. It just so happens that I sort of work out down in the weight room at the same time those guys are going, and man, they're just in another gear. Those guys really, really get after it, and very proud of that program.
Hey, it was great to see, and you caught a beautiful night before we close and let you go here tonight. Nice little shindig out at Kauffman the other night, and it was to a special group, and we had to discuss the new all-time record set. Currently, over $12 million that the varsity club had raised during the fiscal year, and you had just a great night under the stars, with some stars.
Yeah, if we needed any other evidence that God is indeed a Hoosier, we didn't after a Friday, because he or she came through with terrific weather, and as you pointed out, we set a new record for the varsity club, which we needed to, because the cost of funding these scholarships just keeps going up and up and up, most recently with the cost of attendance raising it $1 million a year. So our varsity club staff, but most importantly our donors, really, really stepped up, and we honored those at our highest levels at the Good. Bash at the ballpark, we called it, and it was spectacular, Joe. I mean, Tom Crean was the speaker representing the coaches. Nate Suffeld represented the players. It was in a kind of a tent format. Think of a real nice wedding reception where you're not stuck at a table, but you can wander around and talk to people. All of our sports are represented by students and coaches, and I think it was one of the best events I've ever attended.
You know, the end of July, early August, I don't know what the date is or when the fiscal year technically ends, if it's the end of June or the end of July. What kind of budget are you working with, or has it been set for the 2015-16 year?
Our overall
school
department,
year,
yeah. It is a July 1 to June 30
okay.
year, and we closed the books last year, and we spent $83 million, and we were in the black. And, you know, when I started my first year, I think our budget was about $56 million, and so we've raised and spent, you know, in the order of, you know, $30 million more a year, and I think funneled it into supporting our student-athletes putting it in the right places. That's probably going to keep going the high direction.
Well, it has to, because everything else is going up, and that's great news to hear. $83 million in the black. Hey, by the way, at the new academic, I say new, it's been around a couple of years now, but that's where we had media day for football, you know, Saturday, and I got snooping around, and boy, that is, you talk about well put together. All the pictures of our scholar athletes
right
down through the years. What a terrific terrific center. I mean, I would put this up against, you know, anyone's in the country.
Well, I appreciate that, Joe, and you'd be right about that. I mean, we went from about literally 1,200 square feet in the old assembly hall where the kids were sitting in the hallways. It was embarrassing.
That's hard to believe.
And now we're at 22,000 square feet, and it's not only one of the biggest, but I think it's one of the most technologically advanced and well thought out. And our kids love it. They work on it, and you know, our tutoring budget has gone up because I think the kids are coming around and taking more advantage of that, which is awesome. I love spending money on supporting our student athletes in their academic pursuit.
Well, I always love sitting down and breaking bread and talking IU athletics with the man that runs the intercollegiate athletics department at Indiana U, Fred Glass. Prepster, we'll see you in September, and as we always say, go Hoosiers, enjoy the rest of your August and the start of school. Things will really be picked up with the advent of our students coming to town.
Thanks, Joe. It's always good to be with you.
And we'll continue along here on Time Out for Sports. Up next, the 97th annual PGA, the final major of the season up at Whistling Straits in Sheboygan, Kohler, Wisconsin. Let's see how that course plays as opposed to Chambers Bay. Golf Week contributing writer Lance Ringler will join us as we preview the PGA. Continue along on a beautiful Tuesday night in downtown Bloomington. Right now, 6:35 on the TikTok. You're listening to Time Out for Sports on Newstalk 96.1 and AM 1370 WGCL. Welcome back, everyone. Time Out for Sports here on a Tuesday. Beautiful night. Our thanks again, as always, to Vice President Director of Athletics at Indiana U, Fred Glass, and he'll be joining us as we make an announcement tonight that we will be resuming our series for a ninth year at Yogi's at the corner of 10th and Indiana starting next Tuesday. And one of our guests will be the commissioner of the IHSA, Bobby Cox. We brought Bobby in, very informative, as you know, and a very likable guy and a very powerful man within the scope of the IHSAA, and he'll be joining us as we kind of kick off our high school football this next week. So join us, as always, 6 until 7, Sports Talk live from Yogi's at the corner of 10th and Indiana. Well, joining us now, and we always bring him in ahead of a major, and we always enjoy conversation with Golf Week contributing writer Lance Ringler. And, you know, too often for any generation, where are they now is usually who were they then? And it's kind of hard to figure out. We do know one thing, that youth has taken over. And will it be served as we head into the final major, Lance? Welcome to the show tonight.
No, thanks for having me, Joe. Always a pleasure to sit here and talk golf with you.
Well, I tell you what, there was an interesting piece on the front page of the USA Today. 39 Woods eclipsed by new generation that he inspired. There's a lot of truth to that.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, I've watched it firsthand. In my 15 years covering college golf and junior golf with Golf Week magazine, I've watched these kids literally change before my eyes. And what I mean by that is, you know, 15 years ago when you played golf, the stereotypical golfer was just a kid that didn't play other sports, so to speak. They just went out, they found that you know, something that they did well in, and you know, just didn't look like an athlete. And then that slowly changed once Tiger started, you know, becoming mainstream and winning and doing what he does. The athletes started playing golf, Joe.
Yeah.
And I saw probably in about the mid-2000s, I remember, I'll never forget this one. I was at a tournament, and the Texas A&M golf team was there. And I said, these guys all look like linebackers. And they did. They you know, that's the thing. And so now we're seeing that trickle in to the PGA Tour. These guys are athletes. They look the part. And the other thing is their attitude. They don't fear anything. These kids win right away. They get right out there. I mean,
they almost expect it.
They expect to win, and that is directly related to Tiger Woods and what he changed the sport. He changed the sport.
You know, when we tee it up, and again, it'll be the 97th PGA Championship up at Whistling Straits. 27 of the 156 in the field, 27 years or younger. That's a testament to what you were just talking about. You know, when we're talking about majors, too, and this should come as no surprise as we are hitting on a youth theme because it's very much prevalent in professional golf. You know, for the first time, in 90 years, five of the last six majors have been won by players in their 20s.
Right. Yeah, it's like I said, it's the players that are getting out on the tour out of college much quicker. Not only are they there and staying around, but they're winning, and they're winning a lot. Look at Jordan Spieth. You don't have to go any further than Jordan.
Just turned 22.
Yeah, Jordan, you know, and he's one that, you know, there's probably other guys that you thought might have won more than him to this point. And what he has done, much like Tiger, he has now made all – it was just – there are kids still playing college golf that played junior and college golf with Jordan that are still playing college golf. There are kids that are playing – that are just wrapping up their junior careers that might have played on Jordan's tail end of his junior career. And they're sitting there looking at, wow, this guy's almost made $10 million on the course this year. And they're like, well, I beat him a few times and I played with him. So the attitude is just – it's unbelievable.
And when somebody – and when Tiger registered that all-time winnings list, there were a few of us that were doubters that it would be reached this quickly. And here is Spieth on the verge of doing it in 1 year with what he's been able to do.
Yeah, truly amazing season.
Well, you know, as Rory McIlroy was saying earlier in the week, he's not good to go on a soccer pitch with that left ankle of his. But, Lance, 100% to go to tee it up on Thursday for this PGA. And it's just great back, you know. I mean, he's young.
Right.
There's our young thought again, but he is. And he rehabbed well. And what kind of an impact do you have a Tuesday night feel for the Irishman?
Yeah, I mean, the thing about Rory is if you look at history, he doesn't tend to rebound real well when he's been off or has been hurt. So I don't expect, you know, I think he'll make the cut, obviously, but I don't expect him to really be in contention this week. I mean, that's just me. He hasn't really, you know, he's been off a little while, and that's just my own thought, you know, talking to my writers and my coworkers up there, and you know, that's just my own thought. I'm not picking him in anything. I'm selecting this week.
Well, we talked a little about Tiger and the impact he had on the entire profession and sport when he was doing what he was doing. He's 39 now, and in three other numbers I never, ever thought that I would see associated with his name, 262. That's what he is in the world, and he's playing. Can he make the cut? Can he compete?
Yeah, he can make the cut. I mean, the thing about Tiger is...
I never thought I'd ever sit here and ask a stupid question like that to you that writes for a profession in this sport. But
well,
I can't figure the guy... I can't figure this out, this whole scenario.
And that's the whole thing, Joe. I mean, everyone's sitting here and they're trying to figure it out. And, you know, as long as he keeps doing what he calls the process...
Okay.
You know, he's going to show back up. He's, you know, was it this week? I don't know. Maybe not. Maybe so. But he's just, you know, like you said, he's too good. He has too much in his brain. He's going to figure it out at least one more time before he's done. And I don't know if it's this week, but, you know, it would be surprising to see him. He needs to get off to a good start. If he gets off to a good start and gets himself in position, that's going to fuel a lot of his emotion and the way he goes about it.
Lance Ringler, contributing writer for Golf Week magazine, joining us as he always does a few days ahead of the majors. And it's very simply put, this year it's been dominated by two guys to date, and we're talking about Jordan Spieth and Zach Johnson winning the British Open. Before we talk a little about I picked out one, two, three foursomes or four threesomes that'll be playing the first couple of days. We'll touch on that in a second and get your viewpoint there. Let's talk courses. You embellished well what might to expect. Chambers Bay, a new venue. Here we're back at Whistling Straits. Now, Chambers Bay, you know, a little bit like a Lynx course. Any comparison between these two as we play now over a par 72, little over 7,500-yard course in Whistling Straits?
Well, yeah, there's a little bit of comparison because they have that Lynx look.
Okay.
But Whistling Straits is a fabulous, fabulous golf course. The thing, just to let you know, Joe, how good Whistling Straits is, they have many changes. You know, okay. So normally they've played there two times before. I think they have one tee box that they've raised. Other than that, they've made no changes. So you don't change something when it's good. And the, you know, obviously that's the side of the Dustin Johnson and the bunker debacle.
Yeah.
You know, they've taken, you know, they've made sure everyone knows what a bunker is this year and what's not. But no, I mean, it's a spectacular golf course and great views. And I expect the golf course not to be the story this week, other than the fact that it's just good.
Well, and you can tell. And the neat thing about it is, I mean, the course was designed by Pete Dye back in 98. And you know how he has. You have a fetish for bunkers. There's more than 1,000 of them on that layout.
Yeah, that's crazy.
That is crazy. Well, let's take a look at some guys and some storylines. We all always like to embellish, get into that and talk. You mentioned Dustin Johnson having the tough go of it. He had a he teased us all, some of us anyway, at St. Andrews, firing and leading for 36 holes and then coming home 75-75. Three guys that have never won majors. They're playing together, 8:05, Lance, on Thursday. Jason Day, Dustin Johnson, Ricky Fowler. That's my first threesome. Unfold that for me a bit.
Well, obviously Dustin has had trouble closing in majors. More talent than just about anyone out there. I mean, if you're picking a guy to pick him to win, there's no reason not to pick him. He hits it long. He's good. So Dustin, but the monkey on his back, you know, not being able to win. He's had two or three times now, maybe four, where he's had a shot to be the guy, and he hasn't gotten it done. Ricky's good. Ricky's really good. And he has the same type of situation. I think Ricky, if he's not careful, he might fall into that same stigma as Sergio Garcia, a guy that just can't win the big one, the major, however you want a player's championship. That's a major in my book.
Mine too.
But still, yeah. You know, Ricky needs one of these under his belt. Jason Day, playing fabulous. I mean, playing great golf. Jason might be the best, might be your winner this week. Very good group, though. I mean, three guys, definitely the future of golf the next 10 years.
All right, let's look at the next set of three names. They go off at 7:45 on Thursday. Bubba Watson, Paul Casey, and Jim Furyk.
Wow, that's really a different type of group. You know, Bubba played well there last time. Bubba's, you know, you never can count him out. I just don't see how he gets it done on a course like this, though, even though he has played well there, because he does his ball flight, Joe, is
well, it's scary where it might wind up. And he hit a few of those errant shots last week.
Yeah, I mean, so, you know, but he hits it a long way, and he just knows how to manage his game. Furyk, I mean, what can you say about the guy? You know, he's top shelf. You can almost guarantee a cut made and probably a top 25 finish. And who was the third guy in that group?
And the third guy in the group was one of your favorites, Paul Casey.
Oh, yeah, Paul playing well. You know, he played really well a few weeks ago up in Connecticut at the Travelers. And a guy who, you know, another guy, wouldn't be surprising to see him jump on that leaderboard.
All right, so those are two threesomes that will be teeing off in the morning. And, Lance, I picked a couple of other threesomes. They both go off in the afternoon. 1:10, let's look at Adam Scott, Henrik Stenson, Brooks Koepka.
Great group there. Adam's still using that long putter right now. It's one. He's only got a few
months. Well, he ought to throw it away.
He's only got a few months left with it. Brooks Koepka, wow.
Why wouldn't he start to get used to?
I think he's comfortable with that, and
right.
I mean, you're right. But if he feels he's gonna,
can't figure him out.
Yeah,
either.
Brooks Koepka, though, boy, you talk about a talent there.
What's he? 25, six, or a little bit older?
No. He's 24 or 25.
Yeah,
yeah. Out of
hits the ball a mile.
Yeah, he does, and he just.
But who doesn't anymore?
Really good. So yeah, Brooks is a guy. You know, he keeps showing up. He keeps showing up, and he's gonna be a factor in majors, in many majors.
Henrik Stenson.
Henrik, I've actually picked Henrik in a couple of my teams this week. Remember when Martin Keimer came here and played, you know, playing well. Henrik's just so solid. You know, his game. You know, nothing about his game is bad in a major type setting. And of course, this course demands every part of your game to be good. And that's where he's going to excel, ball striking.
Well, again, 1:10, and that'll be Scott, Stenson, and Koepka. Then 10 minutes later, a 1:20 tee time. And you got it. Rory McIlroy, Jordan Spieth, Zach Johnson.
Yep. There you go. There's a lot of eyes on that group. You know,
does one of them win the PGA? Does Jordan become the first since, who was it? It slipped my mind, to win three majors in
one year. Can't think of his name. I'll find it here in a second. Go ahead.
Well, you know, as far as just one of them three win, I'm always a guy. I like to play.
Go ahead.
I like to play the odds and percentages and go with the field on stuff like that. This event, more so than any of the majors, I mean, you look back, you had a Y.E. Yang, you had a Rich Beam. You have some guys like that, your journeyman PGA Tour players, that tend to find a way to get in the hunt and sometimes win this event, you know. So there's some names down the list that I look to in a PGA. You know, obviously those guys are going to be tough to beat, but it's just one of those events. I always take the field.
We were talking about Ben Hogan in 53. Of course, Tiger did it in 2000, and we're talking about guys that have won three majors in a year. Hey, I was going to ask you about the pressure. It kind of just rolls off his back. I mean, you never know how pressured he is by just watching Jordan Spieth play. Is there less pressure now that he's played a major when everybody was talking about, moving up to number one and this and that and winning three in a row? Do you think there's less pressure now that he's, he had the tough break and he finished second
Yeah, I think for these guys like a Jordan Spieth, even a Zach Johnson, a Roy, pressure is really not a factor to those guys anymore. The only time you ever hear those guys talk about pressure is a Ryder Cup type situation when they're playing for a team and have a partner. These guys, you know, that have won multiple times out there, won majors, this is what they do. They live for this, and they don't really feel it. Now, that doesn't mean they don't have butterflies in their stomach when they're putting, but I don't think it really bothers them.
And there were a lot of scenarios, I was reading where, Spieth doesn't have to win the championship this weekend to replace McIlroy as number one in the world. In fact, he might not even get there even if he does win his third major. The way the official World Golf Ranking laid out the scenarios is kind of confusing. Spieth wins, McIlroy finishes in a two-way tie for second or worse. Spieth finishes second alone, McIlroy's, out of the top. So there's some scenarios there. Hey, last year, now, of course, this is a whole different course. They played Valhalla down in Louisville, but you were talking about how deep we might go in. And again, McIlroy, Mickelson, Fowler, Stenson, Furyk, Ryan Palmer, Victor Dubuisson, Ernie Els, Mikko Ilonen, Hunter Mahan, whose golf game has disappeared, Jimmy Walker, Kevin Chappell, and Brent Snedeker. Now, we're going 15 deep there. Those were the top names and their finishes. Anybody, anything grab you or throw in a name or two you think might be around at the end?
Yeah, you go through that list and there's a couple names that are just kind of your journeyman PGA Tour guys, your middle of the pack guys that you don't think. And this week, you got a guy like Robert Streb, Pat Perez, Brandon Still, all guys who are playing pretty good golf that wouldn't shock me to see them get in there. Then you have a guy like Shane Lowry who's played well this year, won last week. You got to look at him. Brendan Grace, guys that hit it a long way. Yeah, but it's just one of those weeks. Jason Bone, I know you're a fan of Jason Bone, Joe. You pick him a lot.
Yeah.
It's that kind of event where, in reality, Joe, there's not a lot that separates one from 50. There really isn't. And so on any given week, you hear it in football, any given Sunday, any given week, you can't be surprised. These guys are so good that it's a fine line. They get their putter. Patrick Reed told me one time, I remember talking to Patrick Reed at the Greenbrier 2 years ago, and he looked me right in the eye and he said, Lance, it's just all about your short game. If you're putting well that week, if you feel good around the greens, you're controlling your golf ball, that's the difference.
Well, the old saying, putt for dough, drive for hit it for show. Is that so who are you picking?
If I'm going with just one guy this week, I like Justin Rose. I just like his form. I think he's went 6th, 4th, and 3rd or something similar to that in his last three starts. His demeanor's good. I mean, he's a guy that can handle the situation. If I got one guy, I'm going with Justin Rose this week.
Well, let it be said as we close out things, I did take Y.E. Yang to beat Tiger Woods, and he did. We will take Danny Lee to upset the apple cart this coming week at Whistling Straits. There's another name added. He's finally found out what it means to hit the ball off the tee and not chase it in the woods somewhere. He is driving it as straight as anybody else. Hey, we always appreciate appreciate you, and congrats to your wife, Missy, for winning the city again, and she's back in another year, and young Edgewood team, but it'd be an interesting fall for the Mustangs.
Very young team. I think she had seven players come out that never played before.
Well, give her my best. You brought Landon in. Hope you enjoyed the goings-on, and we'll talk and bring you in at Yogi's. We made the announcement earlier tonight. We'll return there for a ninth year consecutively with Sports Talk, and we'll talk to you then ahead of the FedEx playoffs. Exciting time of year in golf as well.
Yep, it sure is, Joe.
Thank you, my friend.
Thanks, Joe.
We'll continue along, close it out for this Tuesday night. You're listening to Time Out for Sports on News Talk 96.1 and AM 1370 WGCL. Welcome back one final time. Don't forget Red San Diego tonight. Michael Lorenzen on the Hill, 10 o'clock pregame in the zone. Glass is back off vacation. You heard him this morning, doing a great job. He and Dave Novak in the zone. Your phone calls at 6. Reds go into Los Angeles, take on the Dodgers on Thursday, Friday, and Saturday night. Colts and Eagles, how about our first noon pregame show with Bob Lamy? First exhibition, preseason exhibition. That will be a Sunday, 12 noon, 1 o'clock kick. Our barbecue train shortstop employee of the week, Aaron Vargas, for Jim Ritter, our producer. And, well, we will see you. Thanks for all these 11 shows during the summer. We'll be live from Yogi Sports Talk next Tuesday night at 6 o'clock. Hey, have a great week, everyone. Good night.